Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Good morning, one and all, and welcome to another episode here at the Damage Report. Today is a Tuesday. That used to be such a chaotic day here. You never knew who you were going to get in terms of co-hosts, and sometimes that's still the case. But more often than not, a special surprise that's getting less surprising every week is awaiting you. Senator Nina Turner. Nina Turner, how's it going?
It's going well, John. Glad to be here with you. And no more, you know, I'm not a guest anymore. I'm family.
That's true. That's true. Okay. And we love to have you here. If it wasn't clear, I'm excited. And I'm excited to talk about some of the stories we have. I do want to apologize in advance, as I do for most shows. You're a really good person. And so I don't want to do this to you with the news, but some of it's, you know, it's American political news. Not gonna be fun. So,
I know.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. We'll weather it together.
We will. Me and you, and thankfully a lot of you already in the chat on Twitch and YouTube and the members and everything. So thank you everybody for being here. Love to have you here. Would love you marginally more if you'd hit the like button and share the stream. So if you want that, if you're going for, you know, that maximal level of love from me, that would be a great thing to do. And if you have any comments, tweets, super chats, questions, anything like that as we go through the next 90 minutes of news, feel free to send it to us and we'll respond during our breaks. Also, little heads up that to close out the show, we're going to be doing another Meanwhile In. And I swear we're not trying to do this, but more often than not, our Meanwhile Ins have been about animals lately. So we've got lava dogs and cocaine hippos. I swear it's legitimate news, and we're going to be discussing it later on if you want to know what those mean. It's not just my bar trivia team name, although it's also that. Anyway, with that, Nina Turner, you ready to talk about some news not about lava dogs?
Let's do it.
Okay, unfortunately, it's gonna be a bit of a difficult transition from the jokiness, but everyone hold on to your butts, is gonna get kind of difficult. I wanna give you an update on a story we last talked about, or mostly talked about 2 years ago or so, when it broke. This news broke that a Border Patrol agents, a number of them, had been involved in a private social media group where they were sharing absolutely disgusting, violent, horrendous memes about migrants, about members of Congress. We talked about it in this video, Border Patrol agents exposed, which many people thankfully watched. And well, there was a lot of terrible stuff in there. In particular, they had been demonizing and sexualizing relatively new at that point, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, with photoshopped images of her, let's just say it, of her being raped by migrants, by President at that point, Donald Trump. She tweeted about it last year, saying last year CBP officers circulated mock-up images of my violent rape ahead of my visit to their facilities. They hung framed photos of officers aiming guns at people on the walls. Later that day, they refused to protect members of Congress when armed Trump supporters were outside. So there's the violence, there's the rape imagery. It's horrendous that this culture was so widespread. Now that was 2 years ago, so we've had some time for something to be done, and it wasn't. The House Committee on Oversight and Reform has released a report this week about what ended up happening to all of those Border Patrol agents who were found to have been involved in that group that was sharing this absolutely horrendous imagery, including, by the way, the group being called I'm 1015, that being code for aliens in custody. It's a weird culture that they've got there. But anyway, their investigation found that, quote, a Border Patrol agent who posted a sexually explicit doctored image and derogatory comments about a member of Congress had his discipline reduced from a recommended removal from the agency to a 60-day suspension and was awarded back pay afterward. So the person who did one of the worst things, I mean, we can weigh which is worse out of the showing images of migrants who've died and having jokey names for migrants who had passed away to fantasizing about the rape of a member of Congress. It's up to you to decide how you rank how horrible those things are. But he ended up just being suspended for 60 days and then got his payback. Nina Turner. So we're going to talk about some of the others, but one of the most noteworthy cases, CBP did not care to do much at all about that.
No, and those above either. I mean, we definitely need a cultural change within this department. It is very clear this should be unacceptable, and you don't reward a person or persons for this type of outrageous, irresponsible behavior. And of course, the last administration wasn't going to do a damn thing, but this administration should. And it also reminds me too, John, I would be curious to know what is going to happen to those agents that use the reins of their horses to whip at the Haitian immigrants. These are the same. It's a cultural dynamic within that department that needs to be totally changed, like clean out, clean house, and bring in people who have a different type of mentality and consciousness. And for God's sakes, there should be consequences and repercussions for that type of behavior, but not to be rewarded. I mean, why would you change your behavior if at the end of this, you're going to be rewarded for what you did?
Exactly. And that's what it is. I mean, we're going to be talking later in the show about paid leave and whether we're going to get it. Well, we found a way that you can get paid leave. Do this horrendous thing, you'll get 60 days off and you'll get the pay for it. So, hey, progress in America. Your reference to the whipping of the Haitian migrants. Well, I mean, surely we have President Biden now. The Democrats have been taken over, so I'm sure they will take it much more seriously down at the border.
I am not gonna hold my breath on that, John.
No, I am not. And it very much is imagine if you're a new person entering in the CBP. Let's say that you don't have an inclination to do these sorts of things. What are you gonna be like after a year or two? Are you gonna wage a one-person war to reform the culture? Fight back against all these like familial groups that are sharing these memes? And if you see someone abusing a migrant in person, you're gonna shut that down? Maybe some people will do that, but how many? How many will instead just be absorbed into this culture in the same way that we see in police, police departments around the country? So again, you cannot just do little like reforms around the edges. This needs to be wholly cleaned out, because otherwise those with seniority that have thrived under this culture, they're just gonna continue it and they're gonna beat the new ones into submission until they comply with it in the same way that they do with the cops. That's my fear anyway.
No, that's exactly right. And we need people with the higher ranking to understand. I mean, why would you even, what they did to the Congresswoman certainly is unacceptable. This is probably not the first time. It's probably more public because it did happen to Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. But trust, this type of blatant culture exists, and it will continue to exist unless some folks are made examples of. That is the bottom line. And there should be a zero tolerance. I mean, these people were blatant enough to put their transgressions right out there in the open for all to see, because they know that nothing of substance, nothing substantial is going to happen to them or the people who are above them. So the people above them need to take action and to make it very clear that this type of behavior is not tolerated. And some folks need to lose jobs or pay or whatever it takes to make sure that there's a cultural shift in that department.
Yeah, and when you use the word few, you're of course being colloquial, but in this case, we can't even get a few. I define few as at least three. We can't even get to three out of this. I'm gonna give you a couple more examples. We have a Border Patrol supervisor who posted an internal CBP video of a migrant falling off a cliff to their death, was not fired, was given a 30-day suspension. It was recommended that this person be fired, but again, culture being what it is, they decided, no, we're not gonna take that recommendation, 30-day suspension. An agent with a quote history of multiple infractions, including posting a photo of a drowned migrant father and child, calling them floaters, was not removed, but rather allowed to retire with disability benefits. That's great. Let's see. So there were 60 who were identified as having committed misconduct having to do with this group. 57 are still working with migrants. Only 2 were removed. So again, not even a few. And you have some letters of reprimand. Oh geez, don't hurt them, CBP. 3 alternate disciplinary actions such as suspension with pay. Cenk, if you're watching this, please suspend me with pay. I've got some hobbies I want to work on. I'm sure I've done something wrong. Suspend me with pay for 30 days. And look, some people might watch this and might think, well, they're memes. Come on, they're videos. Who cares? Which, by the way, I wholly disagree with that. But the issue isn't just with the memes. These people are actually working with migrants, which I will remind you are human beings. So when they interact with those people, should we trust them with those people? Are they gonna treat them with dignity, with respect? Are they gonna trust them if they, you know, are sick or something like that? If they're injured, are they gonna really expedite care for these people, medical help for these people? If you are a part of this culture that believes that, like, oh God, you know, I hope a migrant dies and I get it on video so I can share it and get some upvotes. Is that someone that you would trust dealing with these humans? I don't, but CBP clearly does.
Just a blatant indifference to a human life. Also, in the psychology of being able to do this kind of stuff, it's not just a meme, it's not just a video. There's something wrong with the psychology of the people who work in this department, both the frontline folks and the folks above them. There's a certain psychology here that treats migrants, immigrants, refugee, you know, people trying to seek refuge in this country. And we have laws, so we got to remind folks, we have a process by which people can seek this refuge. It is not illegal to seek the refuge. And so from the beginning, it just seems as though as soon as these people hit our shores, our land, they are treated as they are less than human beings, because there is a psychology within that department that says, regulates in the heart of, obviously by the way that they're acting, that somehow people coming, especially people of color, let's be clear, black and brown, are the other. And it is absolutely an extension of how black and brown people are treated, domestic black and brown folks.
Yeah.
Are treated here in this country. All of this is connected, you know, as Professor Crenshaw, there is an intersectionality to this type of treatment. It's not just a one-off, John. It's not just those people over there. It is an extension of a mindset, of a construction that we feel in America, and particularly those who go into some type of law enforcement field. And so we need to attract different types of people and change the conditions.
I agree.
And what is accepted in law enforcement across the board.
I agree. Yeah. And everything that you're saying is totally possible. This isn't like, you know, there was a report recently of, you know, Mohammed bin Salman wanting to, like, you know, kill his dad with like a poison ring. And like, I can report on that and like, you can like care about it, but there's not much we can directly do. It's a different country or whatever. CBP is here. It is governed by the executive branch, and we joke about Biden, but Biden is in charge of it. So like, they could do something about this. You know, maybe their supervisors aren't taking this stuff seriously. You can do that. You can get rid of them. You can put someone in charge of CBP that believes that fundamental reform is necessary. And you know, I wish that we lived in a world where talking about it, you know, like NPR had a report on this. I think New York Times has talked about it in the last day. We're doing a video here on Damage Report. That might not be enough. So I hope that members of Congress, especially those who've been targeted by this, will bring it up. They have no obligation to, but if they want to, do a hearing. Bring in the head of the CBP. I would love to see Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has been the personal target of this disgusting behavior, shed another spotlight on it. She's tried multiple times, and you know, reform has been stymied because virtually nobody cares about what's happening, either to migrants or to representatives. But let's take another crack at it. We have Biden now, maybe something could actually be done.
John, just because things as they are exist today doesn't mean they have to exist tomorrow. So you are absolutely right. That is the key point, that this does not have to be the reality moving forward. But people got to take action.
Yeah. Now let's make it even more real. We found out this week that Border Patrol hasn't taken seriously the disgusting culture of dehumanization and all of that that we've learned more and more about over the past couple of years. And I want to remind people of the cost of that, because the cost is significant. The Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement, which takes in and processes and eventually settles underage immigrants, apparently received more than 4,500 allegations of sexual abuse and sexual harassment just in the period from 2015 to 2018. So I'm not great at math or anything, but that's more than 1,000 cases a year. I'm sure that they've cleaned it up since then. Those numbers have probably dropped down to nothing. But one would hope that in a country where the right has become increasingly obsessed with the specter of behind the scenes government cabal of people who are raping children, that this would be something that they would seize on and maybe do something about these offices. We have 178 complaints against staff at the shelters. Youth care workers escorting the children everywhere they go or are being accused of sexual assault, rape, things like that. Complaints range from inappropriate romantic relationships between children and adults to watching children shower. So that's specifically two children. And again, how this, like, aren't we supposed to care about children? Like, fundamentally, like, you know, the QAnon nonsense aside, we're supposed to protect children. Unfortunately, that assumes that we actually consider them human children, worthy of dignity, and too many Americans don't in this case. We also have horrendous behavior towards adults as well. So we're gonna talk about that in just a sec, but I wanna give you a chance to jump in, Nina.
It definitely makes my skin crawl, John. I almost don't have any words. You know, even the report about a dog biting the testicles I believe it was a child, even if it was an adult. This is a mentality. This is it. And you are going to have to clean house. There is no reforming of this kind of mess. It must be transformed. And not to even have a heart for other people's children. Jesus. And you know what? These children grow up to become adults. So if you don't love them as children, you damn sure are not going to love them as adults. And that is crystal clear. They treat these people as if they are the other, not deserving of. That really is it. This is in their heart. You know, we talk a lot about, I don't know what's in so-and-so's heart. Well, maybe sometimes we can't tell what is in somebody's heart, but your actions give us a little glimpse. Mm-hmm. Not that people can't change, don't get me wrong, but your actions, and this is not individual actions, John. If this is just a one-off or maybe two, that would be a different thing. But this type of behavior and treatment is embedded in the system, in the hierarchy, in how they operate, how the Border Patrol operates on a regular basis. So nobody can sit up here and pretend like they don't know that there's a sickness and a plague within this department that needs to be dealt with. And I mean stat. That what they say in the hospital, when you hear the word stat, that means right damn away, right away.
Yep. And if we don't, what are we going to get? We're going to get cases like this. You referenced one. I'm just going to run through a few of these. So this is coming from a report from Human Rights Watch. It's available on their website. They treat you like you're worthless. You can go there and get the numbers, get individual cases. I'm going to give you just a couple of little things that they reference. So in 2017, US Border Patrol agent kneed a woman in the lower pelvis, leaving bruises and pain days later, according to her statement to a government official screening her asylum claim. Just knee a woman in her lower pelvis, that's how you treat people. That same year, a Border Patrol agent or Customs and Border Patrol officer forced a girl to undress and then inappropriately touched her. Just want to bear in mind, when there are 4,500 accusations of sexual assault, first of all, do you think that all of them had a claim made against them? Like, you think that these migrants always feel like they can speak up when this happens? So God only knows how many the numbers actually is. This is what one of those looks like. You're forced to undress and then the Border Patrol starts fondling you, starts groping you. That's one. We had 4,500 in 3 years. Okay, so we have in 2018, a CBP officer hit another asylum applicant so hard he was knocked unconscious and his brain swelled. That same year, an officer wearing a green uniform consistent with those of the Border Patrol asked an asylum applicant to give him oral sex in exchange for being released from custody. Another asylum applicant was bitten in the testicle by a Border Patrol service dog and then was denied medical treatment for about 1 month and ultimately had to have his testicle surgically removed. In 2019, CBP officials appeared to withhold food from a man in a freezing cold holding facility until he agreed to sign a paper that he did not understand. So the coercion comes in multiple forms. There's sexual coercion, there's violent coercion, there's threats of deportation to coerce migrants to do what they want, and you can be abused sexually and physically, whether you're a child or an adult, whether you're alone, whether people are around, it all happens. And this is the system that we're told is illegitimate for us to demand that it be reformed, that ICE be taken away, that CBP undergo massive reform. This is what's happening every single day. Any final thoughts, Nina?
These people are sick, John. Sick. And they should not have these jobs at all. Yeah. We need people who actually care about humanity to be Border Patrol. I know they got a tough job to do, you know, especially if it's the smuggling, you know, of drugs and that kind of thing. You know, there's something that Homeland, well, I'm speaking of Homeland, but these folks right here are sick and they need to be weeded out and some heads need to roll.
100%. Yeah, by the way, right loves talk every day about, you know, why aren't they talking about the situation at the border? Let's talk about the situation at the border. That's let's talk about the inhumanity and the violence, the assaults at the border. Let's actually talk about that and let's do something about it. Okay, with that, we are gonna have to go to our first break. When we come back though, the Billionaire Boys Club, protecting billionaires to stop any reform from happening in this reconciliation bill. We've got some amazing video to play for you after this. Okay, Mini Morpho saying I'll have to head up to Portland, Oregon to get the tattoo. Ah, now I'm getting scared, it's becoming real. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I've backed out of a lot of tattoos in my life and I'm not afraid to do it again. Anyway, with that, why don't we turn to news? Great news. It's all positive. Take a look.
Well, it's not a good idea to tell billionaires, don't come to America, don't start your business here, to tell the Steve Jobs and the Bill Gates and people like that, this isn't the place to begin your business, go somewhere else. That's a bad idea. But number two, you're going to tax people not when they sell something, but just when they own it and the value goes up. And what that means is that people are, these multi-billionaires, are going to look and say, I don't want to invest in the stock market because as that goes up, I'm going to get taxed. So maybe I will instead invest in a ranch or in paintings or things that don't build jobs and create a stronger economy. That
Those also go up in value. So I don't understand that argument in like 10 different ways. But I do understand one thing, Nina Turner, and that is that Mitt Romney does not want any taxes on billionaires. And they are just scrambling with nonsense to convince people that we shouldn't do these taxes. Oh, and also, since we're not going to be doing the taxes, this reconciliation infrastructure bill should be as small as possible. I mean, there'd be no money to pay for anything. And those things would benefit like you watching this. I'm talking to you who's watching this video. That would help you, but no, you don't need it. You don't need it. At what cost? Come on, seriously, you're gonna tax a billionaire? They might subtly change their behavior for some reason. And so, Nina, we've seen this our whole lives. There's always gonna be this billionaire defense force and Mitt Romney, you know, for all the times that like, he's been willing to criticize Trump a little bit around the edges or whatever. When it comes to the core thing, which is protecting accumulated wealth, he is not gonna defy his team. And his team is in defense of the billionaires.
That's right. He's gonna stay on the side of his team, come hella high water, as we say in the African American community. Yeah, the billionaire defense squad is in full effect, both on the Democratic side and the Republican side. I mean, he sounds a lot like Senator Sinema, you ask me. I mean, they both singing from the same hymnal and, you know, just throwing their bodies down. You know, throwing the bodies down in front of any taxes on the billionaire class in this country. You know, I think I read on Dr. Robert Reich's post, and Robert Reich does an extraordinary job, former U.S. Labor Secretary in the Clinton administration, of really breaking down these complex economic issues so that everybody can understand. John, he had a post on IG that really reminded us that I believe it was in the late 1960s, the difference between wages between the CEO of a company, for example, and the worker was like 20 times. Now, it's over 300 times more. And you get rewarded as somebody at the top of that particular food chain for messing up. But if you are the worker that helps that business make the profits that they make, you get penalized. No health care. Or bad healthcare, low wages, you know, all of the kinds of stuff that does not make for a good life for everyday people in this country, no matter how they politically identify. And to have Senator Romney say, oh my God, they'll invest in art or a farm. He knows good and well that the entire system itself is designed for people like him and people who have more wealth. And he does. God forbid we start to regulate this system so that they pay their fair share and not starve federal government so that we cannot provide services. Mm-hmm. This is class warfare right here at its worst. And you got to have some kind of gall to sit up here and defend billionaires. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Those poor lowly billionaires, they need their senators to defend them.
I do feel bad for them. Like, oh God, they're gonna be forced to buy art. I feel like they're buying art already. I feel like they're doing that. Right. Yeah, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. This isn't even, come on, at least trickle down on me. This isn't even trickle down economics level. This is ranch and art. No, you're not gonna do that. That's not actually how it works. And look, we are like, it has been like a decades long process to get people to understand some of the ways that the billionaires have both rigged the system and also the tax code, all the different tricks they have, which this valuation thing very much gets into. We're not gonna dive into all the specifics, but there are a lot of ways that they hide all of their wealth throughout their life from taxes, borrowing against it. That's a fun little trick that they can do that they don't have to pay taxes on. And then eventually they pass away, they hand it over to their kids, and nobody ever pays on this stuff. So they have fun little tricks, and slowly we're starting to understand them and getting a few people into elected office who will actually do something about it. And so they're getting a little bit nervous. I don't know why. They've still got cinema, they've still got mansion. I think it's ridiculous, the idea that they're gonna have this billionaire's tax, but I hope that I'm wrong. I really do. But they do seem at least a little bit nervous. You got Mitt Romney. You also have Mitch McConnell. It's great to see those two getting along. He said this about the plan to tax billionaires a little bit. This harebrained scheme would have the IRS penalizing people who invested wisely and compensating people who have invested poorly. So that is the difference, everyone, between billionaires and people like us. They just invested more wisely. I really should have gotten in, on the ground floor on Amazon. I really just should have done. I should have taken, every poor person should have taken the millions of dollars that they were given by their family and should have invested it more wisely. That's the difference. How offensive is that? That this is the difference. You guys were too stupid with your investments. You were like, paying 40 to 50% of what you make on rent. And like trying to eat and have health insurance. Those are stupid investments, you dummies. You should have been investing in tech or something. I don't know. But that's what Mitch McConnell is saying. And this, Nina Turner, to me, is like, it is, we were talking yesterday on the show about how do you win back a majority? Well, they're clearly not gonna do it with their economic arguments, because this is the best thing they have, is yelling at the poor and telling them it's their fault. And that's why they turn to the culture war stuff. Because this Mitt Romney stuff, this Mitch McConnell stuff, like how far past are the majority of Americans past this nonsense? Like I hope that they understand that these people are there to protect not just millionaires and billionaires. Like Mitt Romney himself is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He's speaking in defense of his own personal wealth. Why would a poor person trust him?
That is the $1 million question, pun definitely intended. I mean, John, some people do buy into this, because a lot of people in our country hold out for one day I too can be Mitt Romney, or one day I too can be Jeff Bezos, and find ourselves, because of the propaganda and how the programming, I will say, to believe that, don't mess with them because I want to be one of them too, when the likelihood that is ever going to happen is absolutely slim to none. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean that people can't increase their wealth. I want to be very clear, progressives are not against wealth. It is unseen, it is greed, it is unfettered greed. Mm-hmm. The type of greed that starves government from being able to provide services, the type of greed that allows somebody like a Jeff Bezos, because Amazon ain't going nowhere, let's be clear. They are not going anywhere. So we need government not only to regulate them in a way that solves some of these conundrums, but for Jeff Bezos to have amassed the type of money. I'm just using him as an example, John. We can throw out some other ones. And then you don't want to pay your workers a living as wage. They got to fight like hell to try to unionize and to have your entire company mount up against them. Hello, Bessemer, Alabama. Shout out to those employees. And we know organizing is going on in Staten Island right now. But that is what is begrudged. Don't, if you have to make your money off of the backs and the livelihood of other folks to their detriment, then something is wrong with the way that you are accumulating that wealth. And when you have that kind of money where he's worth 100 and what is it, $22 billion or so dollars, 190 or something, because I know that him and the Tesla guy got into a tussle over who's the top dog in terms of being a 100 billionaire. Mm-hmm. It's something wrong, John. It's something wrong with these people. And I am hoping that the American people understand that the overwhelming majority of us do not have that kind of wealth, will not get that kind of wealth. And it is not necessarily, it is not good at all to have this outsized, you know, wealth on the scale where so few people have so much and so many people have so little. And not only do so few people have so little, the prospect of them even getting a little more than what they have is very hard because of people like Senator Mitt Romney and others on both sides of the aisle who will protect a system that is rotten to its very core.
Yep. And you know, one of the things that we try to do, that thankfully some people try to do, is identify all of the rot. We don't like take one little section of it and say that's the rot, and then we pretend that the others don't exist. Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney, absolutely rotten.
And I am wondering, I know you've met with dozens of lobbyists. I did not touch you. I'm meeting with dozens, I know you're meeting with dozens of lobbyists.
The world doesn't.
Okay, so that was Senator Kyrsten Sinema walking with Republican Senator Tim Scott, one of her constituents. Tried to talk to her, and Sinema was not having it. Actually says at one point, "Don't touch me." I don't know that the woman had touched her. Don't think it's the worst thing in the world if she accidentally brushed against her. But she wasn't answering any questions. She wasn't even looking at the woman. She could not even pretend that a constituent had any right whatsoever to understand what Sinema is doing at this most critical time in the Biden administration. And Sinema, look, let's give her credit for this at least. She's been consistent. She doesn't care what her constituents think. She doesn't care about their questions. She was just really enraptured with what Republican Tim Scott was saying there, Nina. And she couldn't bother to just say, like, you know, I'm having a conversation. I would love to talk to you another time. Not even anything like that. Just don't touch me. Get your dirty hands off me. I'm talking with another wealthy person who shares my concern over the wealthy.
There it is. I mean, she is being who she is. The question, Arizona, looking at you, Arizona, the great state of Arizona, are you going to reward this woman's bad behavior and disdain for her constituents? Because we've seen her multiple times. This is, again, this one is not a one-off either. We're not exaggerating here. This is how she feels about the people who live in her state. Arizona, you can do a new thing, which is to make sure that this woman is not reelected to that office and that she is held accountable for every day she is in that seat, not able to sit there comfortably. Now, you know, brushing up against somebody is one thing by accident. I don't believe anybody should put their hands on anybody. I want to be clear. A brushing up against somebody by accident, as you just said, is not the worst thing in the world. This woman right here, she was just deflecting in that moment. She just doesn't care. I mean, she just does not care, because what? Heretofore, there's been no consequences. She gets coddled and dined and wined by the White House and her colleagues in the Senate, right? The donors go out of their way by putting out commercials in her home state, lauding her and lifting her. So if you were Senator Sinema, John, under those circumstances, would you feel any urge to change your behavior?
No, no. I'd be worried about someone brushing up against me. But we should be worried about who she's rubbing elbows with at these little parties. I'm glad to see she's back in the United States. I think that's great. Apparently, she ended her European vacation to raise money in Paris and, I don't know, Monaco. I honestly don't know, because even though she's a United States senator, she doesn't feel like we need to know what country she's even going to raise money. But she is back. She's hanging out with Republicans, which I think just makes perfect sense. And people are getting really frustrated. I want to show you a little bit more video. Like, this woman really does try, and she's being like, she's just asking questions. She's not yelling at her. She's not following her into the bathroom. This is what we were told we were supposed to do. Let's see how far it gets her.
People are suffering. Your constituents are suffering. What are you going to do about climate change? Next week in Glasgow could be the last chance. Please answer me, Senator. My family, my house, we're from Tucson, we're constituents.
Thanks for your work, sir. Thank you very much.
Oh, I love that Tim Scott did that at the end. So neither of them were gonna talk to her for a second. She's asking about climate change, nonsense like climate change. But as they're going up the thing, someone says, like your work. Oh, he turned his head and he said, thanks for that. If it's just a compliment, no criticism, no questions, they'll take that from a constituent or even a rando. But if you're asking her to make good on years and years of promises that she's made, that she accepts the science on climate change, that she'll do something about it. She was literally in the Green Party. No, you don't even merit a response from one of your constituents. It's so disrespectful. And I hope that people in Arizona are seeing these videos and they'll do something come primary time.
Let us hope, John. I mean, they don't even acknowledge the existence of constituents. I mean, really, mm-hmm. How much effort does it take, even if you don't like it? I mean, I've certainly served in elected office, and everybody that approached me didn't approach me properly. I mean, that lady actually, as you said, laid out. I mean, she did everything just perfect. Her tenor, you know, in terms of how one comports themselves, she did absolutely the right thing. She didn't yell. She didn't get in her space. Just asking her questions. You should acknowledge somebody's existence, especially if you work for the public. I mean, they acting like they work for private sector, but you know what, John? Yep. Actually, they do work for the private sector, mm-hmm. if you think about it. Because the private sector is running the US Senate. Make no doubt about it. The owner donors are in full control, so much so now these senators don't even turn around and acknowledge the very public that they are supposed to be in service to. But you know what, John? They do. They acknowledge who they really do serve.
Yeah.
And that's the owner donors.
Yeah, and everybody needs to understand that going into this. Okay, super fast. I just want to let you know that you know how like the Biden had been pushing for 12 weeks of paid leave, and thanks to people like Sinema and especially Manchin, it had been cut down to 4. Manchin's against including the 4. We'll go super in depth. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. Like, he literally wants to keep it at 0. Is that awesome? He's a millionaire. Owns a coal company. You don't get any leave. Do you think he takes leave when he wants it? Do you think that he gets time off? I think he gets time off, actually, but he's against it. Anyway, before we go to break, though, I do want to let you know about something. So we gave you 2 members of the Billionaire Defense Force, Mitt Romney and Mitch McConnell. Mitt Romney implied that if you try to tax them, it's pointless. They'll just invest in ranches. Man, that dude can't stop thinking about horses, can he? Whereas Mitch McConnell really made an argument more about, I guess you guys are jealous, you poors, because you didn't invest wisely enough. Which of those billionaire boy comments did you find more annoying? You can go to tyt.com/polls and vote for either Mitch McConnell or Mitt Romney there. And you know, in not too much longer, maybe on tomorrow's show, we'll reveal the results. So tyt.com/polls on the Billionaire Boys Club. That said, we're gonna take a short break. We got a lot more after this. Okay, everyone, gonna need you to prepare yourself. We're gonna get into another truly awful story. More cops behaving badly, horribly in this case. So back in January, there was an individual named Cedric Altheimer, and he was doing his job driving around delivering newspapers. It's a job that many people have, and many people are allowed to just do that job, but not Cedric Altheimer. Because as he was doing it, he began to be followed by Sheriff Ed Troyer. Now, the sheriff eventually would claim that Cedric claimed he was going to kill him. And that apparently justified all of what happened to Cedric Altheimer. The sheriff called the police, and this is what the police caught on their body cams during their interaction with Cedric. We're gonna play you a portion of this video.
Hey, keep your hands where we can see him. Hands on the steering wheel.
Is that what you're coming over here for?
Yeah, that's why we're coming over here, okay?
I'm suspicious, huh?
No, because he called saying that.
I don't care what he calls for, he's following me.
Okay, we'll figure everything out.
Talk to him. I don't need you to figure out nothing. I am working.
We will figure
everything. I am working.
Okay.
I'm a black male in a white neighborhood, and I'm working.
That has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, okay? It does.
No.
He's following me.
Okay. He's getting out of the way, okay?
Okay, he's still following me.
We will figure that out.
Away from me. I don't care how many cops show up. He's following me. Well, I don't give a f- I know he's a f-ing cop. You need how many cops for a f-ing newspaper carrier? guys are some badasses. I swear to God, you guys are badasses.
Back.
Stop yes. reaching for stuff, dude.
I'm not reaching.
Don't keep your hands on the steering wheel.
My hands haven't moved off the steering wheel.
Okay, can I explain it?
No, I don't need nothing to be explained to me. I'm being followed. Okay. He called the cops. Congratulations.
Yes.
I'm coming to and from a house. Ooh, he's committing a crime. He's black.
No one's
saying. He's black.
Okay.
He's black.
I'm going to explain.
Oh.
I'm going to explain
I'm
why.
I'm doing the paper route.
Okay, I understand that. I see all the papers in your car.
Yeah,
okay?
Congratulations.
He just called saying that someone threatened his life. That's why.
Cedric did not threaten his life. The cop lied about that. But that did not stop him from absolutely ruining the guy's night, making him go through this terrible experience. They called 40 police officers to the scene. The sheriff did. He'd been following Cedric in an unmarked SUV. Cedric was probably terrified that some weirdo was following him. And in the end, he was right. That weirdo just happened to be a cop who followed him for no reason, stopped him from doing his job, and then lied to make it seem as if he was potentially a murderer of a cop. And then also was claiming that he was moving his hands, that he might be reaching for something. We know what that is generally the prelude to when cops have become terrified. Nina Turner, what do you think?
Yeah, just trauma. That is the daily existence of black people, that kind of trauma, underscore, underline, bold, trauma. And the fact that, again, thank God for body cams. Thank God for phones, even though that was a body cam, because they could have made up anything. I mean, John, this is very, that's why people need to understand the connections between what is still happening to the black community in particular and what has happened historically. Like physical laws on books. See, there's de jure and de facto, what happens in law and what happens in reality. Both law and reality for black folks is what Cedric just went through on a regular basis. So I could understand why he was so upset, because he's just trying to do his job. He's just a working man. And you got this law enforcement person that is making stuff up. I want to say the other word. And then calling his boys to back up his nonsense, further traumatizing this man. Laws. Black people couldn't go places. They had to show papers. Mm-hmm. Right? There were laws on the books that black people couldn't gather in groups, that they couldn't speak too loudly in the presence of white women. All kinds of nonsense. And all of these types of laws, whether you know de facto or de jure, behavior and law, has just been recycled the 21st century version of it. So that man was absolutely traumatized and feared for his life, and rightfully so. 40 police officers for him, and then Dylan Roof gets taken to Burger King.
Yep.
I'm 100%. Over, John. The community is just tired. This is exhausting, mentally and physically exhausting.
Yeah, I honestly cannot imagine. I try to imagine, but I can't. I can't imagine. And that other cop walking up like, no, that has nothing to do with it. That is nothing. Does it have nothing to do with it? You think it has nothing to do with it?
It has everything to do with it.
Exactly.
He was in the wrong place. He wasn't supposed to be in that kind of neighborhood.
Yeah.
Without permission.
And I love his response. The way he, like, it was just so real, the way he was responding. Like, God only knows how many times he's had experiences like this. Maybe not quite as bad, maybe not 40 cops, but being followed in his car, when he's in a store. I honestly cannot imagine the accumulated effect of that kind of nonsense, that kind of BS. Now, thankfully, in this case, Troyer is going to face up to 364 days in jail and a $5,000 fine on each count involving the lying about the. He claimed that the guy threatened to kill a cop. That's insanity. And for what? Like, what is the. Like, obviously this guy is crazy. Obviously this guy is a racist. What did he think was going to come about as a result of this? Why go to all of this trouble? But this is what cops do. And the system is set up to defend them, to allow them to contend. Like, thankfully in this case, he's gonna suffer consequences. But all too often, this is just a thing that we find out that they did after they eventually end up killing someone. We say, oh, by the way, back in 2015, they had done this one thing. Well, thankfully in this case, they're going to be stopping it with this one thing.
Yeah, thank God. The Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Without okay. that camera, I don't think it would be true, John, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe not. really fast, we're gonna go to this one last story with the time that we have with the senator. So let's jump into this. Late Monday night, we found out that some of the craziest representatives in Congress, people like Paul Gosar, Marjorie Greene, Lauren Boebert, others, had in fact been meeting, and their staffs had been meeting with some of those organizing protests on January 6th. Now, this was a revelation because none of those representatives, none of their staffs had admitted this freely in the last 9 months since we've been trying to find out what happened on January 6th. But thankfully, Rolling Stone has got multiple sources. We will see what ends up happening. I don't take anything reported, you know, necessarily as gospel or anything like that. But a long list of representatives were cited, including Andy Biggs too, Louie Gohmert, a lot of people. Now, few of them have actually engaged with this reporting, but now one more has. Representative Marjorie Greene has called the article's allegations, quote, ridiculous, and called the article itself a pathetic piece of trash in an interview that she did with the Daily Caller. She says, they're talking about their sources and quoting sources, but not giving names. So that just reminds me of the whole Russian collusion lie and the type of language that Adam Schiff uses when he's talking about sources. They're not sending their best when they send Marjorie Greene to Congress. The whole thing is their same playbook, make up a story, publish it, then all the other outlets rinse and repeat. So that's her response. There's apparently nothing to, she's not engaging with any of the specifics. She's not confirming whether or not she had communicated with these people, whether her team has communicated with these people. She is just attacking it and trying to make it about something to do with Russia or whatever. Ignoring the fact that, of course, there are stakes in this. We want to know what happened. A lot went on, including, by the way, 5 people dying, 140 police officers being injured, including things like a broken spine, a lost eye, lost fingers, brain damage, multiple cases of PTSD, 2 Capitol Police officers dying by suicide in the wake of it. But that is the response that we get from a representative, that reporting ties to the organization of something that turned deadly. We don't get to have an honest response. She instead just attacks it and talks about Adam Schiff.
Deflecting, she is. And she's a nutcase. She really is. Just deflecting. And for all the people who were injured, people who lost their lives, but particularly to law enforcement, because these people claim to care so much about and love, but these insurrectionists did not care. As a matter of fact, turned their venom on the Capitol Police wholesale. Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing what we call COA. That's what she's doing right now. And just deflecting her little heart out. She knows good and well that she had or her staff had some conversations, because the way those folks, that January 6th insurrection, those her people right there. That's it. But now she's deflecting and COA.
Exactly. And by the way, she could say, we talked to the organizers and that was the protest. That wasn't this riot that Antifa did or whatever. She could say that. She's not even doing that. She's implying that she didn't. All the reporting is wrong, by the way. They say in that reporting that Paul Gosar talked about getting blanket pardons from the White House. And I'll ask the same question I asked yesterday. Pardons for what? You don't need a pardon to protest. Protesting is legal. You can do that. No one was arrested for going to Trump's speech. You had to literally bust down a door, threaten to kill Mike Pence to get arrested. So what were the pardons for? She doesn't care. She's not interested in that. It's not just that she's innocent, all of them are innocent. So we'll see. One representative is taking a slightly different approach, Representative Mo Brooks. He says he had no involvement in planning it. But then he goes on to say, I don't know if my staff did, but if they did, I'd be proud of them for helping to put together a rally lawful under the First Amendment at the Ellipse to protest voter fraud and election theft. So he kind of throws his staff under the bus, but then says, hey, if you're under the bus right now, it's actually cool. It's a great place to be. Thank you for your service. Also, Biden stole the election. So this is where we're at in America. Our representatives can do and say whatever they want. There are like basically no consequences. They can threaten violence against Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama. That's what Green did. Like, she is perhaps the worst. She lost her committee assignments. That is as far as the accountability goes these days.
Yeah, and she doesn't care because most likely, unfortunately, she's gonna get reelected. So we need the folks to wake the hell up, John. This is it. None of this is acceptable at all.
No. So we're gonna see, maybe we'll find out more. Supposedly they're gonna speak to Congress, those sources, we'll find out. In any event, that is unfortunately all the time we have at this first hour. It's also all the time that we have with Senator Nina Turner. As always, thank you so much for joining us.
Until next time, John.
Thank you. Everyone, become a member so you can check out Power Hour. You can get a taste of it in podcast form on Mondays, so check that out. For those of you on Twitch and YouTube, the members app, we do have more coming at you. We're gonna take a short break, but we'll be back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.